Test, test, test. All right, we'll rewind. Good morning. Good to see you all. Wow, we've got a nice crowd in here and a beautiful day. It's great to see you here today. Welcome to those of you who are in the sanctuary and those of you who are out in the parking lot. Welcome to you. And those who are taking this in online in the comfort of their home, welcome to you too also. It's good to be together on this day. Today at 11 a.m., immediately following this service, is our annual meeting, so we were worried we might not have a quorum, but that's gone now. We've got maybe a double quorum here, so it's good to see you all, and we look forward to a good annual meeting. Tuesday through Thursday, I'll be in the office, so stop by for a socially distant visits, and that's been happening more and more lately. There's some birthdays listed in the bulletin. Happy birthday to you all. And then our January mission of the month is the Brody Setter family. Next Sunday, the 31st, this is one of those months where there's five Sundays, but it's the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and we look forward. This will be our last of completely 100% virtual Sunday school and confirmation, because when we get into February, we're offering the in-person option again. So if you want to attend Sunday school, we'll put you out in the fellowship hall, socially spaced, and we'll do it that way. The chairs will disappear, and then the confirmation students will meet downstairs, and same thing, masks and spread out. But we're going to start doing the in-person again. So the numbers have come down in the state, and we're excited about that. But you can find the video links on the Foundry Facebook page for Sunday school and confirmation. And like I said, we're offering in-person here starting in February. 10 a.m. worship next Sunday, same thing. We're doing the sanctuary parking lot and online. And if you would like to take communion with us, we bring communion elements, and this will be for the first Sunday in February. If you're out in the parking lot, we'll bring you the communion cups. But if you're doing this at home on a regular basis, feel free to stop by the church and pick up a little communion kit. I've been handing some of those out, too. People have been stopping by, so that's always good. Then you can participate with us in communion. February 8th and 9th, it's the Grace Lutheran Quilters are meeting to do their thing. So all helping hands are welcome. These gals have been doing this for years, and they have a pretty good time. So are there any other announcements that need to be made today? All right. Well, we'll open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning.
To be with you all here today. And for our opening song of worship, we're going to sing together, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing."
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy sing, call for song of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sing my theme in tongues of love. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love.
Good. Our call to worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2, 5 through 8, and 11 through 12. For alone my soul waits in silence. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation. On God rests my salvation and my glory. Trust in Him at all times. Hold your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Let us pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our merciful Redeemer, for the great blessings you give. May we know you more clearly and love you more dearly, following you and praising you with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the hymn titled, Dearest Jesus at Your Word. It's hymn number 248 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Thank you, praise singers. Dearest Jesus, at your word. The word we treasure so much are his words of forgiveness. And we touch base with those every Sunday when we do what we're going to do next, and that is stand before God openly and honestly and confess our need for forgiveness, and he gives it. So we direct our attention to page 56 in the green hymnal, or as it appears on the screen, our brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's promise from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise together right now. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you. Our scriptures for this third Sunday after the Epiphany. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. Of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. a church divided over leaders. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters come from Chloe's house have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray the prayers of the church. We pray for guidance. O Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our society. We pray for the hungry and homeless, the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy. As we transition towards the sermon today, I invite you to join me in singing a beautiful hymn from the Blue Hymnal with one voice, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take
Well, kids, as we get ready to hear the message, we have a time for you to look a little closer at the screen. I wish I could, and we're getting close. I wish I could have you up at the table with me. But anyway, we'll have the cameras zoom in on what we're doing. So this message is for you. Well, I have some items on the table here, things that are similar but different. The first, there's a couple of bananas here. One is really pretty soft and squishy, probably headed for the garbage or maybe the freezer to smash up, and then a good banana. So which one would you want? Of course, it would be this one. That looks much more appetizing. I have two water bottles here. And one is full, this one, and this is empty. So which one would we want? Well, of course, we would want the full one. And then I have a couple of eggs here. I have one egg that's I cracked this morning for my breakfast, and then another one that is not cracked. So which one would we want? Well, of course, we would want this one. This one's just a shell, and that needs to go into the garbage too. And then I have a couple of yogurt containers. One is empty, one is full, just like the water bottles. So the question is that, of course, we would want the ones that really are full and new and fresh. But many times in our lives, because of our sin, because of our stubbornness, because of our waywardness, we end up like kind of the rotten banana. We end up like an empty water bottle or yogurt container, or maybe we just feel broken and empty inside like this eggshell. But today we're going to hear Jesus announce to us that the kingdom of God has come. It has come in his person. It comes to us when we hear his word of forgiveness. And he gives us new beginnings throughout our lives. And he does this because of the cross. There he died for our sins on that cross, and he rose again so that we can have new life. And his mercies, as the scripture says, are new every morning. So we praise God today for his power in bringing us his new beginnings when we feel so empty inside and broken. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would hear your call today to follow you into the freshness and the newness of your forgiveness and your kingdom. We thank and praise you that this is your gift to us, broken sinners as we are. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, as we come before God's word this morning, let's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, fill our hands today, fill our hearts, fill our minds with the wonder of what you've done for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The title of today's message is The Time Has Come. It's based upon the gospel text for this Sunday, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Jesus calls his first disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. The time has come. She was what we call a tomboy because her mom died when she was only 3. She grew up helping her dad on the farm. However, he made sure that she took piano lessons along with learning how to throw bales, play baseball and basketball. She excelled in both worlds. She was an athlete and a musician, a 4-year starter in both her sports in high school, a scratch bowler with a shelf full of trophies, and a church organist with some piano teaching on the side. She met her husband at a Lutheran youth gathering. He always claimed she caught his eye because she was so full of life's energy. However, he made sure that he always remembered that they really became interested in one another when she broke his favorite bat at a competitive baseball game. They dated and got engaged, and when he was drafted into the Army in 1942, they got married before he shipped out. Married for 3.5 years without really spending much time together as he completed his tours in North Africa and Europe. She lived with his parents on the farm while she waited and waited and waited, and then World War II came to an end and he came home. After the war, they started their family, 3 kids with a miscarriage between each, 3 heartaches that were hidden between the lines of her busy life of moving, working, and raising us 3 kids. We were the apples of her eye. And she was oh so patient with us, even allowing us to help her bake. And what a mess we made. She was determined to be for us the mother that she never had. She was really good at it. I was 8 when it happened. Some dark cloud came over my bright, shining star, and she disappeared before our very eyes. She fell into some deep pit of mental anguish and isolation. That's the way depression is. She attempted to numb her internal torment with alcohol. Then there was the addiction with its bitter fruit of lying, fighting apathy, and the dry, empty valley of hopelessness. That's the place she now called home. There were 2 years of treatment, regression, shame, sobriety, backsliding, and then 8 years of blessed calm and normalcy. I remember how my brother, sister, and I, and my dad always sat in the church balcony. Mom stayed home and listened to the church service on the radio. She said she just got too nervous around crowds. It was okay, we made it work, but deep down I think she felt a sense of shame. But then when I was 19, the beast came calling once again. Maybe it was the long winter months, the empty nest, or unfulfilled dreams, but the addiction appeared out of nowhere and swallowed her whole one more time. But this final battle ended in an unexpected victory. Several ladies stopped by one day, several church ladies, and invited my mom into one of the newly formed women's circles at church. They met for Bible study and served at the church for funerals and other events. It was a simple thing, like a single fragrant flower, an invitation, an open hand, a smile done in God's love. It took root in my mom's life and began to grow. The time had come. The kingdom of God had arrived. With my dad on the road 5 days a week, I moved back home to keep an eye on things, so I had a ringside seat for what happened next. Mom got a new Bible and began to read it. She began to share her insights and discoveries with me. That gave way to a deeper understanding of God's unconditional love for her. And by God's grace, she made peace with her past. The unfulfilled dreams, the losses, the heartaches, the failures, and oh yes, the shame. The time had come. The kingdom of God had arrived. Mom encountered God's miracle of restoration in a new and profound way. That restoration, won by Jesus on the cross and given freely by him to sinners who can only offer dirty and empty hands, Mom started living again. She walked into God's new beginning for Louise Christine Kettleson Sangson, the time had come. The kingdom of God had arrived. She started bowling again, and soon she had a group of unchurched, rough around the edges, unchurched bowling friends. She would tuck a little devotional in her purse as she hustled off to bowling league each week. Sitting down in the bowling alley with a newly found friend, she would listen to their pain and struggles with compassion as one who had been there, because she had. Then at just the right moment, she would offer her faith. She would offer that little devotional booklet with the words, "Why don't you try this? It helps me a lot. I read it every night before I go to bed." The follow-up to the booklet was more listening, more compassion, and then an invitation to church, which she now attended. My mom had heard Jesus' call to follow him. It was a call of peace and compassion. It was a call to rise from her past and whatever bondage that had held for her. It was a call to breathe the fresh air of freedom and new life, to be free from her self-disappointment and shame. Yes, she left some things behind, but the newness she walked into as she followed him kept her from looking back. The time had come. It was the Lord's time. It was an ever new time. Her past would no longer define who she was. Today, as we think about our gospel reading, we see a similar call from our Lord. The beauty of Mark's account is its simplicity. He doesn't bother with all the questions we think we might need answered. What previous interaction did Jesus have with these men? Why did Jesus call these guys? What were they feeling when he called them? What did others say when they just dropped their nets and followed Jesus? Mark will have none of that in his account. In his matter-of-fact style, he just tells us that Jesus preached the time has come and then came calling people just as they were. In their work clothes, sweat on their brow, hands smelling of fish, and minds thinking of the day's catch and tomorrow's bills. Going about their own business when Jesus came announcing the good news. His kingdom had come, and it was now open. But we want more, don't we? And so off we run to the other gospel writers for more details, hoping to find something of a process. A process that these men went through before they signed some imaginary mental contract to let Jesus lead them. We would feel so much better if we could find this process, break it down and analyze it, and then carefully calculate how we might tweak it to fit our lives in this modern world. If we could master this process, then we could minimize the control that Jesus seems to demand over our lives. But the cross, his cross for us, strips us of that ability to control. All we can do is stand before him with empty hands and receive his forgiveness and his mercy and be made new by it. But Mark, and especially Jesus, will have nothing of this process, because the process of Jesus' call is not the point, but it's the person who is doing the calling. So here he is today on this third Sunday of Epiphany. This grown-up God-man Jesus is out of the cradle, and he's on the loose. He comes to us and calls us by name. He says, "Follow me." And suddenly, we are compelled to drop what we are doing and tag along. This is personal. We can't hold him at arm's length. He's completely out of our control. He just walks into our world and tells us that it's really his world. He leans over our shoulder and says, "Keep doing what you're doing, but do it the best you can for my honor and glory. If you want to change, then I will go with you, but I will do the leading and guiding. And all those people you meet along the way of your journey, they are my people too. So deal with them in my name and with my priorities. Remember, following me is the most exciting thing you will do in your life. So enjoy the ride and don't look back. And if you have to drop something to follow me, then by all means, let it go. For what I have for you is of much greater value, and it will last for all eternity. As Christians, this is our primary calling. Jesus says, follow me. Different jobs and careers may come and go as we navigate our world through an ever-changing economy, but through it all, Jesus says, follow me. Because you see, being with him is our primary calling in life. He has wiped our sin slate clean by his cross and calls us into the new world of his resurrection. He invites us to live in his ever new now. This ever changing but consistent present time when we see clearly that he is with us and we are in his kingdom. It's a time and place where we see that everything in front of us is new because he has freed us from the past. The time has come. The kingdom has arrived. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for finding me and making it possible for me to follow you. By the power of your cross and resurrection, you have made all things new for me. Give me the faith to release whatever might hold me back from walking with you in the new world you have created for me. Help me to live out your newness before others as a witness to your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer.
Stronger than darkness, new every morn.
us pray. Gracious Lord, your kingdom is open to us, not by our doing, but by yours. And because of that, we come before you now with our prayers. We pray especially for those who are suffering during this time of pandemic and isolation. Lord, be with those who are struggling. Grant them a sense of your presence and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who are on the front lines of this pandemic. Think of our healthcare workers. We think of our teachers. We think of those who are working retail, providing us with the opportunity to purchase the things we need. Lord, watch over them. Grant them the ability to get the vaccine and keep them safe and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, as our time together in worship this morning comes to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able. And we're going to sing our closing song, our doxology.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. We look forward to more of this in the future. Receive the Lord's blessing today. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our God in newness and in his grace.